she thought we should study something a little bit different, like, you know, dedicate this session to Beth. Mm.
Yes.
And instead of studying Tanya, I thought we would look at a discourse.
Yes.
Now, it's all in Hebrew, except for the first couple of pages, the last page. But I will translate it. And I thought we'd look at this together and dedicate our study for the memory of Beth. Whose Hebrew name was Hadassah Leah.
Batsara.
That's right.
Her name was
Hadassah Leah. Yeah. Yeah.
But I heard someone say Bat Yaakov. Is it once you're deceased, then you become...
No, Bas Avraham. Very often it's there's the name of the father and the mother, and when a person's deceased, you tend to say more the name of the father, but not always.
So it's always the father, as far as I know.
Yeah, in different situations.
On a stone, it's always
on the stone,
the father.
It's the father. On the stone,
always.
Yeah. Yeah, but at Yiskor, many people say the mother's name.
Oh, yes.
See,
I agree.
The name of the person and the mother, when they're mentioning them at Yiskor.
That's right, yeah.
And I was davening for her, so I said, Hadassah Leah about Sarah.
That's exactly right. Yeah, exactly right.
That's right.
Right, okay, now, the thing is that we're coming to Lag BaOmer. Sunday, with the help of Hashem, Motzi Shabbat, Saturday night, and Sunday are going to be Lag BaOmer. It's going to be a beautiful thing. I hope you're all going to be able to come over here at 11 o'clock. There's going to be a beautiful parade with dignitaries from the council and all kinds of interesting rabbonim and rebbetzins and different people who will be here, and many children. Sunday morning 11 o'clock. And there'll be music, there'll be a band, there'll be floats, there'll be banners, the children will be holding
posters. Will it be downstairs?
No, it's going to be outside. Hopefully it'll be a nice fine day. And then they're going to have speeches and stories and different things. And then the children will say Torah psukim. The point being that the Rebbe selected 12 Torah passages, which he said are particularly suitable for children to learn those passages. And so at an event like this, like a kind of a rally with children, so a little child comes on the stage and says, Torah! And everyone shouts, Torah! And then she says, Tziva! And so it goes through this little Torah passage, Torah, Tziva, Lanu, Moshe, Moresha, Kehilas, Yaakov. The Torah was commanded to us by Moshe, and it's the inheritance of the community of Jacob. So there are 12 such passages, two of them from the Tanya, incidentally, and it's a very beautiful thing. So, and then the children and everyone else will march down led by a band and with a police escort, as it were, will march down. Usually they march down Stamford Hill and stopping all the traffic and for a while, and it'll be a very lovely thing. Then they turn off, and eventually they'll be going to a park, to Springfield Park, where it'll be like a carnival funfair kind of thing. So it'll be a very, very pleasant thing. So it'll be lovely if you come. So now comes the question, what is Lag BaOmer? And what can we take out of this whole idea of Lag BaOmer? Given that Beth passed away shortly before, a week or so before Lag BaOmer. And so Lag is number 33, right? Lamed Gimel is 33. We have in front of us a Psalm 119. Now look at verse 18, Yud Ches. Can you see verse 18? If you go down, that's four lines down. If you look at it in Hebrew.
Yeah, Yud Ches.
Yes, that's Yud Ches, and here is Yud Ches, here.
Right.
Yud Ches, have you got that?
Yes.
Gal Einai. He translates it very nicely. Unveil my eyes. Va'abita. And I will see, I will gaze at. Niflos. Wonders, mitoira secho, from your Torah. So he's saying, he's asking Hashem, King David, who wrote the Tehillim, who wrote the Psalms, is asking Hashem, do you see that verse 18? Unveil my eyes. You can look at it in the English. Unveil my eyes that I may behold wonders from your Torah. Phenomenal idea. So we're asking Hashem to reveal the wonders of the Torah, and we're saying it in such a way, open my eyes, unveil my eyes. Now, that's a very interesting idea. There we have the Torah coming from Hashem, and there are different levels of Torah. And what it talks about in this discourse was said, it's actually, if you turn over the page, you'll see, it's all in Hebrew, I haven't got a translation of it. It's all in Hebrew, but it was said just around Lag BaOmer, 30 years ago. Tovshin Lamed Zayin, 5737, and we're now 5767. So 30 years ago, the Rebbe said this teaching on the Shabbat, which was just after Lag BaOmer. And he explains there that there are different levels of Torah. Now, I think we may have here a... See, now it's a bit scribbly. I hope you can read it. In Torah, there's the garment of the Torah, like the garments, the body, the soul, and the soul of the soul.
Mm-hmm.
Four different levels within the Torah. The garment of the Torah is the stories which are in the Torah. For example, you've got the story of Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob and Leah and Rachel, all these different things. It's stories, and you can tell that story to a four-year-old. You know, what's in the Seder this week? And you can tell a story about Abraham and how there were angels who came to the tent and things like that. That's story. Then you've got the body of the Torah. The stories are like the garment that anyone can see. You can see that immediately. The body is the real substance of the Torah, is the laws of the Torah, because the Torah's got laws about kashrut, about Pesach and Yom Tov and Shabbat and different things like that. And the laws, there's the laws from the Torah, there's the laws, the teachings of the rabbis, but that's all the body of the Torah. So you've got the garment and the body. Stories and laws. Then you have another dimension, the soul of the Torah. Now, the soul of the Torah is a spiritual dimension. That's really the Kabbalistic dimension. And if we look at Lag BaOmer, who passed away on Lag BaOmer?
Shimon Bar Yochai.
That's right. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Absolutely right. And he's often called Rashbi.
Rashi.
Rashbi. Not Rashi. Rashi lived later. Rashi wrote a commentary on the Torah. Rashbi is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Right? Now, Rashbi, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, wrote a very famous book. Do you know what book that is?
Zohar.
That's right.
Hey,
the Zohar.
Good team.
Okay, very good.
Yes.
So he wrote the Zohar. And in the Zohar, there is a description of the last day of Rashbi's life, which is Lag BaOmer, when he passed away. And that's in a part of the Zohar called the Idra. The Idra means the room and the hall, and like he with his students were together in this hall, and he was teaching them all night, and at the end he passed away in a very sort of very, very spiritual way, and the teachings he was teaching them were very intense teachings. So what the Rebbe, what the Lubavitcher Rebbe says in this discourse is that you've got the garment and the body of the Torah, the stories which are in the Torah, the Chumash, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moshe and so on, and Miriam, You've got the body of the Torah, which is the laws, like Kashrut and Shabbat and festivals, and how to behave towards other people, and how to be a good person in all kinds of ways. And then you've got the soul, which is Rashbi's teachings, his normal teachings, which are in the Zohar, like the main part of the Zohar. And then you've got an extra dimension, which is the soul of the soul. And that are the very intense final teachings of Rashbi. That's something extra. That's like
that's the Kabbalah.
Well, the soul is itself the Kabbalah, and the soul of the soul is an even deeper level, right? So there you have the Kabbalah, and you have like the even deeper level of the Kabbalah as well. So there you have these four dimensions of the Torah. So what is being asked by King David? Open my eyes, unveil my eyes, so that I can see wonders from your Torah. He's saying, I want to see these deeper levels. I want to see the soul. I want to see the soul of the soul. I want to see the inner radiance. You know, the word Zohar means radiance. So I want to see the inner radiance of the Torah, but in order for me to do that, I want you to, please God, to unveil my eyes, open my eyes, so that I should be able to see this inner dimension. Right? Because the point is that the word gal means reveal. You see? There's reveal. And we are asking for something to be revealed. So there is something that is in some way hidden. Now, if something is hidden, it means there's some kind of barrier. There is a barrier of some kind. And what we're asking Hashem is reveal, unveil, open this barrier. Open the barrier so that the radiance is able to shine through to me looking. And where am I going to look? I'm going to look at the Torah. I'm going to look at the regular Torah, the Torah that everyone studies, the Torah that a five-year-old child studies. But in that Torah, I'm asking Hashem that I should be able to see the beautiful radiance which is hidden there, which is the radiance of the Zohar revealed by Rashbi, and even the radiance of the soul of the soul, Rashbi's final teaching.
How can we do that and live?
That's a wonderful question, really.
How can we do it? We can't do that unless we're still in this world and we're living in a material thing and down to earth. We can only do it if we're somewhere.
That's the deep mystery of Rashbi, of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, and the Zohar, and the Zohar being made accessible to you and me.
Yes.
So that here in this world,
we're
able to experience that. Yes. Now, there's a certain person who had a very important role in making these teachings of the Zohar accessible to us. In fact, it's not just one person, it's several people, but one of the key people.
It has to be very spiritual, more
the Baal Shem Tov.
Yes,
more there.
Absolutely.
More there than
I've
here.
I've been coming to these shoes.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Absolutely right. The Baal Shem Tov.
He was a Kabbalist.
He was a Kabbalist and he founded Hasidism. Mm. And the difference between Kabbalah and Hasidism is that Kabbalah is for very, very spiritual, holy people, and Hasidism is for everyone. Hasidism, Hasidus, is actually deeper than Kabbalah, because it's that point which is the point of the inner soul of each person, and where that inner soul of each person connects with God. You see, the Torah itself is there in order to connect us with God. When we read a story in the Torah about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, something like that, you know, Joseph in Egypt. So it's a very dramatic story, Joseph in Egypt. But actually, reading that story connects us with God, because this is a story in the Torah, and the Torah is connecting each person with God. Then you've got the body of the Torah, which is the laws, and we can learn the laws, or even more, we can keep the laws, and of course we're being connected with Hashem at that moment. While we're keeping that law or studying about that law, we are being connected with Hashem in a wonderful way. Then you have the soul, and the soul of the soul, these deeper levels, they are helping us in a very, very intimate and deep way connect with Hashem. And what Hasidic teachings do is they go to the very essence. The very essence is something that relates to every single Jew, to every single individual. When you're not talking about the essence, when you're talking about something which is very deep and very holy, so that doesn't necessarily relate to everyone, because it's too deep and it's too holy and I'm too ordinary or I'm too this or I'm too that. But when you're talking about the essence, everyone has the essence inside them. And it's as if these Torah teachings, which come from the very, very essence, and they are like the soul of the soul, and that comes through the Baal Shem Tov's teachings as well, and then from the Baal Shem Tov down through Rabbi Shneur Zalman in Tanya, and then through the chain of teachers till we come to our own Rebbe, who is giving it to us, who is making it all accessible. He's drawing aside the veils in the Torah and the veils in our own heart, so that we're able to connect with Hashem in this deepest, deepest way from the very, very essence. That's what Lag BaOmer represents. Lag BaOmer represents the opening of those doors, the opening of those barriers, so that the radiance is able to shine through from the very essence of Hashem to the very essence of us, and we are able to connect together with Hashem in that way. Yes.
But if we're doing all the celebrating and all the razzmatazz and everything, how can we say, how can you think of the soul? Because it's all very...
Well, that's a very interesting thing.
Happy, and we're all happy, and how are we?
You know, happiness.
How can we ever do that?
The soul expresses itself through happiness. See, there are serious days on the calendar, like Yom Kippur, and there are joyful days on the calendar, like Purim. And in fact, Yom Kippurim, the Day of Atonement, is described as the day which is like Purim. Yom, the day, Kippurim, like Purim. Kof means like. And Purim is a joyful day that people drink, they might even get a bit drunk. Lag BaOmer is another kind of joyful day. It's a joyful day, as you say, with razzmatazz, with going out into the...
Can we meditate on such a level? If it's all this hype and razzmatazz, can we meditate?
Well, you see, that's the point. There's a time to meditate in a very quiet way, when you're sitting in your living room and you are praying to Hashem and you're saying the Shema in a very, very deep way. Mm-hmm. And there's also a time when there's a band and music in the street and people are singing and it's joyful. You see, there are different dimensions. We have to be able to take what is in the Holy of Holies out into the streets of Jerusalem and into the streets of the land of Israel, and into the streets of the whole world, and cover the whole world with beautiful festoons of joyful things, and to make every human being rejoice that this is something special taking place. In fact, very likely we will have non-Jewish participants in this event, especially from the council. There might be a Muslim, there might be a black person, there might be all kinds of different
people.
We'll
all feel at home then.
Who
can
will
I ask a question?
Yes.
Now look, I'm looking at this and I heard what you said, and it's very, you know, it's a lot to take in, isn't it? You can't just go, oh, that was so interesting and nice. Well, it was interesting and nice. Now when you put that out, I saw this is what I saw: the thought, speech and deed.
Wow.
Is that right? Look, is that right?
It's a lovely way of looking at it. Although,
I'm not saying it is that, I'm saying that's what it reminded me of when I saw it.
Well, you see, the idea of there being different dimensions. Mm. You see, the interesting thing is that within the laws, you have themselves the thought, speech, and deed. You can be thinking about the laws of the Torah, you could be talking about them, studying about them, or you could be doing them.
Yeah.
In the same way with the stories, you could be thinking about a story, or you could be saying it, or perhaps you could even be enacting it in some way. You could.
Yeah, but like you said, the garment was the thing that anyone could
see.
Oh,
right, on the outside.
And that is the thing. But what would the soul of souls? Where would that come in? That if it.
All right, for that I will have to draw another picture.
Well, this is what I'm trying to think of. The soul of the soul is more of a meditating nature. That,
you know, you said that only very holy people study Kabbalah. How do we learn Tanya then?
Because it's Hasidic teaching which is reaching the essence.
You meditate even when there's things going on. Like at Purim, when everyone's going mad and all the kids are enjoying themselves.
Do you think we can still meditate in that atmosphere?
Okay, let's try your, you know, it's a wonderful in discussion. Let's just take this image, which I first found in the teachings of the second Lubavitcher Rebbe. So we have a circle. The top of the circle, this is like the whole cosmos, the whole spiritual cosmos. The top of the circle is the infinite. And you have different levels over here, and the very lowest level, like at the bottom of the circle, is action of mitzvot. And then you have speaking and thinking and feeling and spiritual states of consciousness, yes, going higher and higher. Now you could imagine certain people, they rise to certain very, very intense spiritual states of consciousness going higher and higher. But this chap or woman, this man or woman, they're down here on the realm of action. Or it's that aspect of ourselves. We're doing the action. And the action connects us round to the infinite. You see, when we're plugged in to that lowest level of action, the circumference of the circle, it's on the bottom of the circumference of the circle, that connects us round to the very highest levels. Whereas in the middle, you know, there's someone very, very spiritual reaching upwards, you know, and maybe it's, you know, very, very few people who are able to get up to there. But actually, there's a distance between the highest point they can reach and just the simple humility of action, which goes also to the essence. That's, see, the action says more than the words and even than the feelings. There's something very, very intense about the power of action. It's like in a painting, you know, like a stroke in the painting. You can't explain it. It's there. It's that thing. And so there is that action. You have a mezuzah on the door of your room, and there's some tremendous statement there, but you can't put it into words. It's just that fact that there's a mezuzah, there's that mitzvah on the door. You walk into the room, and even when you're not in the room, there you've got that mitzvah aura around you all the time. So that level of action connects to the infinite in this tremendous way. Now, when we are taking the idea that the very, very deepest teachings of the Torah are somehow being, which is this deepest dimension, are being revealed through the simplicity of the Torah, through the body, the laws, and the stories. There, we are getting this essence, we're getting this sort of beautiful, intense radiance, which is being revealed in this very, very intense and wonderful way through the power of Lag BaOmer, which opens these doors and these barriers and lets the radiance through and lets us through. Alright?
Yeah.
Now that's part of the story. Let me try to tell you a little bit more about the story. If you look on these pages, there is also the last page that you've got. The first page is from Psalms, right? This is the only other page that's got English. The first page is from Psalms, then you've got a whole discourse, which I'm trying to summarize for you, for us together. And then you've got the very last page, which has also got a page which is in English, which is from the book of Genesis, Bereshis. It's Vayetse, and we've got a story here of Laban and Jacob. So Jacob ran away from Laban, and then Laban, Lavan, who caught him up, and Jacob has his wives and his children, and Laban has come, and Laban has said, all right, look, I'm not going to hurt you. In fact, I had a dream from God telling me that I mustn't do anything bad to you.
Is this all here? Just before this bit?
Yeah, it's just before this bit. It's just before this bit. And then he said, and Laban, look, you see, right at the beginning, Laban interrupted Jacob. The daughters are my daughters, their sons are my sons. I love your children. I'm certainly not going to do anything bad to you. And so then, look just in the translation, verse 45, Jacob took a boulder and raised it as a pillar. Gather stones, he said to his relatives, to his sons. They took stones, they made a large mound, and there they are, they ate there on top of the mound. Now this mound in Hebrew, let's see what that is. This is verse 46. Vayomer Yaakov le'echov, Jacob says to his brothers, meaning his sons, liktu avonim, gather stones, vayikhu avonim, they took stones, vayasu gol, and they made a pile of stones, a mound, vayoichlu shom al gol, and they all ate together there on top of the mound. Then it says various other things about the mound. Both Jacob and Lavan are saying this mound is very special. This is a kind of a barrier between us to protect. Look down at verse 52. Eid Hagal Hazeh. This mound, this pile of stones, is a testimony. Ve'eda hamatseva, and this pillar, this rock that you've set up here, this is also a testimony. Imani loy evo elecho esagal hazeh. I, Laban says, I will not pass over this mound. Ve'imato loy sovo elai, and you won't pass to me over this mound esagal hazeh. Ve'esamatseva zois, and this pillar l'ra'a. Neither of us for bad. Neither of us are going to cross the mound for bad. So in other words, we have the idea that there's Lavan, Laban, and there's Jacob, and there is a mound in between them. There's a pile of stones in between them, which is a kind of barrier.
Okay. Is it called Galed?
Yes, Gilad. Yeah, the town.
Because that's where I spent a year in Israel.
How beautiful.
Kibbutz Galed in Megiddo.
Right. Phenomenal. Although I think that this this Gilad is actually the other side of the Jordan. I'm not quite sure, but I think it is. Okay. Because he hasn't yet...
There, just the name of the kibbutz.
Yeah, he hasn't yet actually come back to... he hasn't yet come back to Israel. Some say it's 45... Here, the commentator over here says it's 25 miles east of the Jordan.
Right.
See, so it's the other side of the Jordan. It's in what's called Transjordan, or the country of Jordan today. Now, Lavan, we normally think of Laban as being a rather nasty character. He's Jacob's uncle, and he's very problematic. He tried to cheat Jacob, and that was a problem. But he's got a funny name. Lavan. What does Lavan mean?
White.
White. The Kabbalists say, you know what? There are two dimensions of this Lavan. There's Lavan, which is very exalted, a very, very exalted level of holiness. So exalted, it only comes down in the Torah in the form of a trickster, a negative person, but really it represents something very exalted, something very high. And there's also a lower Lavan, who is the negative chap that we are aware of, Uncle Lavan, who is such a problem for Jacob and really wanted to get rid of him. So here is a kind of a Kabbalistic diagram of existence transmitted through Hasidic teaching, so we're allowed to study it. Don't worry. Here we have Lavan, and that's the exalted level of holiness, and there is a barrier in between. That's the pile of stones, the barrier. Then we have Jacob, which is the like normal realm of holiness. And then we have the lower Lavan, which is the negative, which is the unholy, which is the problematic dimension of life. And there is a barrier there as well. So it's the Kabbalistic picture explained in this discourse, this Maimon by the Rebbe, thank you very much, has actually like opened it up. It's made it more three-dimensional, that there is a very exalted domain beyond reaching the essence of the infinite. Then there is a barrier, like a veil. And then there is the realm of holiness, everything that we call the realm of the holy, Jacob. And then there's the realm of the unholy. And there's a veil over here as well. Now, this veil, this pile of stones, this mound, is called Gal. And that Gal has the same meaning as the word reveal, unveil. The force of Lag BaOmer is to take this situation and open up the barrier, deconstruct this barrier, so that it would dissolve the barrier in some way. You've got to be very careful when you're dissolving barriers, because you might end up in the water. But dissolving the barrier in a very, very careful way, so that this intense holiness can flow through from the higher Lavan into Jacob, and then dissolving this barrier so that the Jacob holiness can flow into the negative Lavan and transform him and bring out
the... Is it to do with the same Lavan?
Well, that's the interesting thing.
How did he get to go up there?
Well, you see, really everything in existence is holiness, but that's hidden. And what's happening here is that it's being revealed. And so therefore the lower Lavan, which is something negative, really relates back to the higher Lavan. So if there's something which is negative in life, it really is a doorway to something which is holy and spiritual. And the bad can be transformed not only into good, but into something intensely good and beautifully good. And here we're looking at a picture of the world.
It's very interesting to find that you can actually transform, and it's a wonderful idea, especially when people are experiencing negative things, that they can actually reach that level. But how do they do it?
That's where the teachings of Hasidus help us in that process, because learning this discourse, which is what we're doing now, even though we're not actually reading it word for word, we're able to get this image, which is going to be the picture of the world in the time of Mashiach, that all these barriers will be open. There will, at the same time, there'll still be the concept that there are...
The mound.
Well, you see, this is the interesting thing. It doesn't mean that the healthy borders are dissolved away. There are healthy borders of privacy and certain concepts. There is one person, there's another person. There is a protection of each person's privacy and modesty. These borders are still there. They will be there in the time of Mashiach. But these spiritual borders are being opened, so that through having the cell structure of the structure of the Jewish people and the nations of the world around the Jewish people and the whole of existence, the animal world, the vegetable world, the mineral world, everything will then be able to be permeated by this holiness, which is actually there all the time, and it's just that our eyes will be open and we will be able to see that holiness. And so that really is the teaching.
Is this up to all of us?
yes, yes.
To do this or to try and do this.
Yes, and that's...
we go through life.
Yes.
Yes, do you think we can do it?
Absolutely, yes. And each stage in life...
we can do it.
And each challenge of life, we've got that opportunity.
Hmm.
And this share is in memory of Beth.
It's a wonderful thought, and it's certainly something to try and aim for. It's very difficult, though, at times, isn't it?
It is. It is indeed.
You climb the mountain over the mound.
Yes. Yes, and then come down into the valley and realize that the valley itself is the mountain as well. And that's where the holiness is revealed.
So Beth must have reached a level of... high level of holiness.
Beth is in the other world, and I'm sure she's in a very spiritual place in the other world. She was a very, very pure person.
And she knew she was going there.
She did, indeed, yes. So I hear from all the people who saw her.
And I had a word with Tim. I said, you've got proper up for you. You're up there in some orbit somewhere, living it up, the life of Riley, and I'm down here picking up the pieces. Not a very good thought, but then you see, I don't know if he listened to me, he's probably coughed to death, and he never really listened. Maybe he can't hear.
I'm sure he can. And he gets nachas from all
time.
He gets nachas from all the good things you do. So, with the help of Hashem, thank you very much,
thank
lady.
Thank you very much, thank you. That's wonderful, really, to think that we can achieve this.